There's Christian liberty, and there is what you ought to do in Christian living. I don't know why I'm going this direction tonight, but take it. The charming woman, I will now know what is right from what is what? Almost right. Like if you don't pass the road today, Pastor Peter Pinkham. He said, the sermon you mean, you will know Judas from Peter. Judas, Peter had a bad day and he denied Jesus. But Judas had a bad heart. Is it making sense? Is it making sense? They look the same. You must learn to discern. God grants you understanding. Isaiah 6. So God will of Ephesians, for the last, as I said, 3 weeks, thereabout, we've been studying, Galatians on Sunday mornings and Ephesians on Thursday evenings, and I think that will continue for a while. We might have to pause once we want to start our believers' meeting teachings, and they will continue again. Isaiah 6. I'm not spending much time there today because we have a lot to do. Verse 8 says, up to I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Then I said, here am I sent thee. And he said, go and tell this people, hear ye indeed, but understand not, and see you indeed, but perceive not. So again, we said, God speaks through, appointed men, okay. Before you say God speaks through a madman, say, you know, man. Again, I've told you that that's some African magic playing in your head. God speaks where his spirit is. Not there, but he spoke in a donkey. Then let us go there tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Has the donkey spoken to you before? Ma! God speaks through his prophet. Eventually, who told you that he spoke to a donkey? Moses. But let's leave that one this time. But God speaks through appointed men. From the lips of the man of God is the word of God. And when I say man of God, it doesn't necessarily mean the pastor. Hallelujah. 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 When you say man of God, is the man from God. The man from God, which is the new creation in Christ. The one who is born of the Spirit. Alright, so, he said God speaks through men. Ordinary folks sometimes. Even people who are prone to mistakes. People who make mistakes. So the fact that someone is not perfect. You know, recently someone was abusing a pastor. And I was there. I said, you are an hypocrite. Because this is something you can do. Yeah, why would a pastor? This is something you can do. Yes or no? But I'm not a pastor. I'm a Christian. You're a Christian. You know, we oftentimes just forget. Noah was a drunk. Abraham lied. Moses was full of anger. You want me to continue? Samuel was a coward. David committed adultery. But you see, these are the prophets of God. Hallelujah. So, the fact that they are imperfect, see, we are all working towards perfection, maturity in Christ, which I will still say today, later on. But you see, God will still speak to those men nevertheless. If you don't know how to listen to men, you will miss God. Elijah said, I saw the fire, it wasn't there. I saw the earthquake, it wasn't there. I saw the whirlwind, it wasn't there. Where was God? In a still small voice. In a voice. And so, if you don't know how to listen to voice and you are looking for the spectacular, you will miss the supernatural. You must know how to listen to the supernatural. Simple voice. Stand up, go and preach. Pray. Oftentimes, when you feel someone on your heart long enough, you know, someone just keep coming back to your heart. You most likely should be praying for the person. But you see this generation, Instagram, go to the best Instagram, I like the pictures. It's coming to my heart. It's coming to my heart. You should be praying. You should be reaching out. I was everything. I was family. I was ministry. God told us last year that this year, a whole lot of people were on the verge of suicide will be rescued by the power of the Holy Ghost. And so when nudges and impressions come to your heart, God is talking to you so that you can get through to someone else. You can't afford being carefree. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Are you with me today? Alright, so God talks to men. So can we say Paul qualifies to speak to the church? Eh? When he will now say, I, Paul, an apostle, to the church which is in Galatia. Right? Grace be unto you. We said that on Sunday, Abby. You guys said that on Sunday. Grace be unto you. And peace from God the Father.
Uh-huh.
And we saw why he wrote it to every church. And that was from Moses. Hallelujah. Praise God. And so, again, Paul qualifies to speak on behalf of God to the church. On what grounds again?
You know this.
He said, on what grounds? First an appointment, called of God. That means he's a spirit witness, right? Right? I have chosen him to bear my witness to the Gentiles. And I said later in the year we're going to teach when I'm teaching ecclesiology, we're going to look at it in the light where we see that the gospel to Gentiles is not different from the gospel to circumcision. It's actually not different. But for the purpose of unity in the church, you find Paul saying, as Peter was commissioned to the circumcision, I was commissioned to the uncircumcised. But you don't need to bother about all of that for now. But again, Paul was chosen. Is that being apostolic? Where we explain that you have a special message to a special place, right? So, apostle means someone who is sent forth. Sent forth, apostolos in the Greek. Someone who is sent forth. So, Paul was sent forth of God. Of Jesus Christ, and by God the Father who raised him from the dead. We also saw the journey of Paul to Ephesus. We don't have much time, that's why you see me glossing over everything we have said. But I want us to read Ephesus 1:1 today. So, we look at Paul's journey to Ephesus, right? Right? Where he went there first, preached unto them, they said he should come back, he said, no. And he left, Abby? Last week I stopped that, may the Lord bless the reading of his word. Abby? Where I read the entire chapter 18 and chapter 19. And we looked at how he preached and then he asked him to come back. He said no. He met Aquila and Priscilla, he left them there, right? And then he traveled. Then Aquila and Priscilla met Apollos, who was mighty in words and in scriptures, right? Right? They met him, teaching in the synagogue, and they called him aside, right? When he was yearning dust. And I said something. I said, no matter what you know in the body of Christ, the if you are going to say the New Testament in one word, is or in one sentence, or Paul's teaching, Paul's hermeneutics in one sentence is unity of the church, or better put, unity and love. If you miss out on those two things, you are not Pauline. Some people are Paulinos. You think they are Pauline. You can't because you know everything. Oh, you can't, you don't even know everything. That's the truth. If everything is known, I would not be studying. I would just be gallivanting and say, amen, we have arrived in Christ. It's sure for me in Christ. You know, but we still study. We still pray. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That shows there's still a lot to know. Amen. Amen. So, Aquila and Priscilla, husband and wife. Very good examples. Not the one of, the one you are throwing pillow about. And say, couple goes. Or there. When you're done with that goal, you go and preach the gospel. Oh, the pastor, is everything about preaching the gospel? Yes. The pastor, no, let's be serious now. Yes. What do you think everything's about? When someone laid down his own life for you, you didn't know everything was about the gospel. Hey, for can't you stop enjoying small? Which, that's how you know you enjoy. But your enjoyment is for the gospel. You enjoy towards the gospel. We will get there, workers' meeting this year. Amen. A lot of you don't know. I just want to realize I'm taken care of. No, I'm taken care of in the church. Hallelujah. By prayer, by fasting. Paul says by much suffering. Amen. Say, let Jesus be glorified. Upon Jesus. So again, Aquila and Priscilla, couples, They took Apollos aside and then they nurtured him. They taught him. And that was better for him. So, the lesson will not just be Apollos, which we are going to see very much more in Ephesus. It's not just Aquila and Priscilla teaching him. It's also him learning. You see, when you are unteachable, God cannot use you. When you are unteachable, God cannot use you. You know, we find a lot of people thinking they have arrived. I'm the best thing that happens in sliced bread. No. God is going to just leave you. Don't be like Saul, the son of Kish. Samuel said, when God called you, were you not small in your own eyes? It's a question. The same Saul that told Samuel, he said, I can't be king. My tribe is the smallest tribe in Israel. We are from Benjamin. I'm a Benjamin. Samuel said, no, God has called you. No. Let the Lord Almighty choose another person. Then he became king. Then the same Samuel said, you are going to destroy the Amalekites. You are not going to bring a single thing home. Then he felt, Samuel hears from God, I can hear from God too. I'm the king. Samuel said, to obey is better than sacrifice. Sometimes the obedience itself is the sacrifice. You know, ask Jesus. His obedience was the sacrifice. So, that teachability. And that's what David had. David would make a mistake and then would run back to God. He would run back to God and say, I'm a sinner. In sin did my mother conceived me. That was David, not you. In sin my mother conceived me. That's an insult to your mother if you say that. Because that's like adultery. Something like that. Just gisting you. A little gist on adultery. David's case was different. You know, that every man is born a sinner. Tonight is not that for that one. We have a lot of teachings on that already. But yes. Salvation through faith in Christ, series 2 and series 3. Even series 1. Please, if you can lay your hands on that, you will probably now come back to me and let me know if every man is born a sinner. Hallelujah, because that doesn't make sense. Sin means that I have done something. You can't say a baby is born a sinner. Why? What did he do? Because humanity has sinned. What is the sin? Because a maternal means you have crossed the mark. There's a mark, do not trespass, and you cross it. How did the baby cross it? Because what the Bible teaches as sin is unbelief in the gospel. And even under the law, when in the wilderness, God still permitted 20 years old and below, not this generation, to enter the promised land, even though they were in rebellion. So, I want to know what a day-old baby would have done in rejecting the gospel to merit hell. You will need to prove that. Because when you say everybody is going to sin, that puts God in an unjust position. He's an unjust God. Someone has to have done something to merit to be called a sinner. But tonight is not for that one. Tonight is not for that one at all. You know, sometimes we just grab a statement or a body of fact, and we just swallow it and say, yeah, that's what everybody's saying. But you need to reason with the scriptures. Jesus never said that. They asked him, who sinned, this man or his parent that is born blind? No one. Let me just walk the walk of God. What is the walk of God? God is going to heal him. The devil has done his own, made him blind from the mother's womb. The mother did not sin. He did not sin. How can someone sin from the mother's womb? What would be the sin? Adultery? Which adultery is not even a major sin. It's a sub sin. Unbelief in the gospel is the sin. You know, we explain that in forgiveness of sins. Abi? It's out. It's out. You should listen to it. Well, we said, all adultery, fornication, lying, are what? Hypostasis. They are manifestation. They are presentation of the sin. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, just like you have love, joy, kindness, they are manifestations of the Spirit. They are the fruit of the Spirit. What you have is the Spirit. What the Spirit is producing is joy. Is it making sense? So, we're not the works of the flesh. So, again, the issue is the flesh. The issue is the body of sin. The issue is unbelief in the gospel. The issue is that a person is hell-bound, alienated from the light of God, which we see in Ephesians, then the presentation is adultery. Drunkenness. Is it making sense? Why am I going that direction tonight? So look at how that Aquila and Priscilla corrected Apollos. Fine. Was better for it because he now went to Jerusalem and then
taught God's word in the synagogue and helped much Jews. Then we saw that Paul came back to Ephesus. Right? Came back to Ephesus, met the disciples of John, right? Where he asked them, have you been baptized with the Holy Ghost since you believed? And they said, we have not so much heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. I hope you remember all these things we read last. And he said, we have not so much heard whether there be only Holy Ghost. And he said, then what were you baptized? He said, the baptism of John. And then he explained the baptism of John. That baptism of John was for the repentance of sins. Right? Right? And so we said, one of the themes of Ephesians would be baptism. 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 And we already have a teaching, two kinds of baptism. Because really, when you say baptism in the scriptures, you have to say baptism of what? The Bible talks about baptism by fire. The Bible talks about baptism of water. In fact, baptism was used for death. Baptism was used for the washing of cups under the law. When you wash cups, it's called baptizo. It's called a baptism because baptism means to immerse. To dip. In fact, in 1 Corinthians 10:2, it was said that the congregation of Israel were baptized into Moses. So how do you explain that one? You are baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. Let's even say they went to the sea. How are they baptized in the cloud? No one said God's work is unfindable. Okay. Again, when they are baptized into Moses, it means they were identified in Moses. Because God will not talk to them directly. God spoke to Moses to speak to Israel. And so, God saw Israel in Moses. Does it make sense? They were baptized into Moses. They identified with Moses. And so, again, when you use the word baptized, you need to look at it in proper context. Because Peter also talked about two kinds of baptism. Look at 1 Peter 3. That's just by the way. But again, since we are talking about the themes in Ephesus, or the themes in Ephesians, baptism cannot leave the picture. In 1 Peter 3, verse 20, which sometimes were disobedient when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was a preparing, wherein few, that is, 8 souls were saved by what? I remember one funny brother like that, one time. He just went and said, 8 souls were saved by water. That without water baptism, that a man is going to hell. I said, read what God said. Read what God said. Because the issue is, even John the Baptist, we didn't have a record that he was baptized. We never thought about that, have you? John the Baptist was not baptized. Jesus went to him and said, do this. John said, it's not needed now. Jesus said, so that the scriptures can be fulfilled. What was the scriptures? Because you can't just come, declare yourself the Messiah. The prophets must speak. Is it making sense? Right from Genesis. Genesis 3:15. Moses said it. Isaiah said it. Ezekiel said it. Jeremiah said it. Habakkuk said it. Obadiah said it. If the prophet does not call you, God has not called you. And so, that the scriptures might be fulfilled, John had to say, this is the Lamb. Is it making sense? So Jesus went there and said, do it. Do it. Because John didn't want to do it. He said, your shoes, I can't lose. So, if John himself was not baptized, that means John himself was not saved. Amen? Amen? We don't have a record that Paul was baptized with water. No record. I'm just saying. So, when he said 8 souls were saved by water, we need to look at it very well. What saved them was the ark from water. Alright. Don't say, are you not changing Bible? Did I do anything? I just told you a simple story. What saved people in times of Noah? The ark or the water? Suddenly you are confused. The ark or the water? The ark. From water. It's a language issue, really. It said I was watching an Arsenal game. Sorry, I had to mention Arsenal. And I saw Victoria Concordia Crescent. Victoria Concordia Crescent. Now, literally, that would mean victory, harmony, true. But, you know, you're going to say in English, you ask, victory, true, harmony. So I have brought, in the transliteration, I have brought the crescent before the Concordia. But, you won't say I changed the language. Would you? Would you say I changed the language? No. Because it's another language, sometimes it happens. Is it making sense? Eh? I've succeeded in mentioning Arsenal today. You have to win. Alright, so, let's look at 1 Peter 3. So it says, 8 souls were saved by water. Can you verse 21 together? No, that's not everybody.
The like figure whereunto we even baptism does now. Wait, so Peter is established. He said, oh, eight souls were saved by the heart from water or by water. Fine. In that is just likewise, baptism also now saves. What baptism? Reason. Not the putting away of the filth of the earth, but the towards God by the resurrection. So Peter puts out two kinds of baptism. He says there's one that washes away the filth of the flesh. He said, that's not the one that says. He said, the one that says is by the resurrection. Just like Jesus said, John verily has baptized you with water. Not many days from now, you'll be baptized with it. When you say Holy Ghost, what does that tell you? What is the first thing you remember? The resurrection. Why? The Holy Ghost was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified. John 7:39. So again, there's no Holy Ghost without the resurrection. The Holy Ghost was given upon the resurrection. In that day, you will know. John 14:20. In that day, you will know, I am in the Father, the Father is in me, and I in you. That's the Holy Ghost. The Spirit of truth, the Comforter, is upon the resurrection. When Jesus rose from the dead, the Holy Ghost was given. And that's the mighty water that is flowing from him, out of his belly. Hallelujah. Praise God. So, again, can we see Peter's distinguishing in the two kinds of baptism? He says, baptism now is not the one that washes away the filth of the flesh. That one is water. Again, whatever is going to save your spirit cannot be physical. And we taught that on Sunday, even though I was with a bit of a strong tone. But I'm sorry. That's the tone of Galatia. I just picked up the tone of the book. Where we told you that how bread and wine, physically, cannot do anything to your spirit. Now, do I have an issue with you taking the communion? No. What's my problem? Do you have an issue with you getting baptized in water? I was baptized twice. My baptismal name is Enoch. It's fine. It's fine. Don't call me that. But, Enoch. So, I was baptized twice. One in the church, one at Ele River. So, I can't stand before you and say, don't be baptized. Don't do anything with your body. Water is fine. Cleanliness is good. But you see, water touching your body cannot do shish to your spirit. Nothing. What will save the spirit will be the Holy Ghost. And that's why just say, you will be baptized with the Holy Ghost. So very strong in the theme of Ephesians will be baptism. It will be baptism. You will see what Paul explained as that immersion. Because in Ephesians you will see one Lord, one faith, one baptism. One baptism. When we get there, we will trash it out. Hallelujah. One baptism. Fine. We are still looking at Paul's journey, Abby. So we said he met the disciples of John, where he corrected them, right? And they said they need the baptism of John, then he got them filled with the Holy Ghost. That's a proper baptism. And I say the other one is improper, if you say so. But you see, this is very well. I have no issue with water baptism. My issue is when you say that someone is not saved because he's not water baptized. What is the correlation? Did Jesus die for sins, went to hell, rose the third day so that people can be getting into water? How? That's a wasted death. He died so that men can be born of the Spirit. And if you look at the way the New Testament explains it, he now explains water as that Spirit. Except a man be born of water, that is of the Spirit, John 3:5. He cannot enter the kingdom of God. Out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. He kept using water for the Spirit. The water I shall give him shall be unto him what? Eternal life. Is it pure water? That's the Spirit. Is it making sense? If you know him that asks you for water, you will ask him, and he shall give unto you living water. Water that is alive. In John 6, he said, drink of me, or drink me, eat of my flesh. That's the Spirit. Does it make sense? So, over and over again, even the prophets of old used water for the Spirit. In Ezekiel 36, verse 25 to 27, he said, I will sprinkle clean water upon you. I will put a new spirit. Does it make sense? So again, sorry for that. Over and over again in the scriptures, you discover the use of water for the Spirit. So when John came, it was fine. When he just used water,
as a symbol of the Spirit. Why would he do that? Because the Holy Ghost was not yet given. Why? Jesus was not yet glorified. And so people now say, this water will symbolize what will happen to you. More than the washing away of the filth of the flesh, your sins will be wiped away. Making sense? Is it making sense? So, very strong in the theme of Ephesus, or Ephesians, is baptism. Baptism. Also, we saw Demetrius. Eh? Demetrius. We saw Demetrius. Who was he? The silversmith. Smith. Last week, Abby. That one is a businessman. He said, Paul, you can do anything you want to do. I know you are preaching, but don't say there's no other God. How are we going to mold God now? He was a silversmith that molds gods, especially for the great Diana of the Ephesians. And he said, you can preach anything you want to. Nobody's stopping you from your preaching. But don't say that there are no other gods. Don't say there are no physical gods. And so Demetrius called an association of people whose daily meal is being taken away. And then they went against Paul. They went so much, in fact, history says that was what drove Paul out of the city. So much persecution can do. But that's fine. He already established Christians. Why? He taught them for 3 months first, then 2 years in the school of Tyrannus. Right? Uh-huh. 3 months, then 2 years. Daily, he was teaching them God's word. And really, that's what a Christian should live for. The preaching of the gospel. The preaching of the gospel. See, if you are not preaching, you are not doing what is right. We have a lot of churches, yet a lot of sinners. Walk from here 5 minutes, you will see 2 churches. Walk another 5 minutes, you will see 2 churches. Arguably in a street, are you not going to find at least 3 churches? And one that is small, and one that is big, and one that is medium. Even though there's no small church, and there's no big church. Christ is Lord. Hallelujah. At least you'll find 3. Yet, are we preaching the gospel? What an age. If we were in Paul's age, will the gospel thrive like we are seeing it? It's okay that when we see, sometimes when people read the book of Acts, they get to see the miracles. Oh, Paul's handkerchief. Paul's apron. You know? Have you seen me preach? Things of the Spirit before? It's okay. Miracles happen. Jail doors were broken. People were delivered miraculously by the power of the Holy Ghost. Blind eyes were opened. Lame men walked. But you know what happened in the book of Acts? People got saved. A lot. Arguably every chapter, there was a preaching of the gospel. Arguably. In every chapter. 80% of the chapters had the preaching of the gospel. In fact, the real acts of the apostles is not miracles. It's the preaching of the gospel. Are the real acts of the apostles. Are we preaching the gospel? The Great Commission says you should go. Don't wait for, I've told this story before, right? Right? In the traffic light. I think I read it from C.S. Lewis. Traffic light. And then, it was red, which means you stop, right? Then the yellow, then the green. There was a green light, which means you should be going. And then the man still stayed in front of with his car. Right in front of the traffic light. And someone from his back shouted, are you waiting for the Minister of Transportation to ask you to go? The green light says, go. Don't wait for God to tell you to go and preach. That's a useless waiting. I'm just waiting for God to inspire me. To do what? On the pages of the Bible is the inspiration to reach out to the unsaved. God, you're waiting for God to tell you to go and preach. The real acts of the apostles is the preaching of the gospel. Go! But I don't know what to say. If you can talk, you can preach. I said you have not spoken a word in your life before. I remember the first time I preached in the bus. I think I was 14. And but let me give you the gist. Before that day, I had gone on that bus like 7 times. I can ask the, no, waiting. My change. I wanted to preach. You know, I was timid. Next day, I was like, today's the day! I would have prayed. There was nothing with my friend. I said, this one, at least, I told him I would preach. Sometimes I have to preach. As I was getting, I said, why didn't you preach? And God said I should not talk. But you see, the entire jinx was broken one day. As I was entering, I didn't wait. From the door, I said, I want to preach the gospel. Everybody looked at the young boy. What did I say? I can't remember. But I preached. And thank God, probably that's why I'm still preaching today. Preach. Paul went to Ephesus and he converted almost the whole city. Such that we now had the church in Ephesus. So people go to NYSC. The only thing they bring back is picture. What day? Serving the fatherland. Have you served the father? The father of glory. What do you not know? Man know what that is. The devil cat. He's gone. With all your dreams, all your, you are like monkey. One small demon, they live in the kingdom of darkness. They just give him project. Eat three coppers. Believer, one. Believer, two. Believer, three. These are the Muslims out. That's it, bro. When you are a man of war that does not know the scriptures, man of God. When 1 year, one solid year in another state, you didn't have one single disciple who are tasting food. I like Akwantawa. What Akwantawa? What am I saying? I like Ofiewere. Ofiewere. You left Lagos to Owerri. The only thing you brought back is skateboard. Ofiewere. Let me not call you the last syllable of that thing. Weary. See, I like that funk. Christians, where have we thrown the preaching of the gospel? That's, if there's anything we learned from the books of Paul, is that he was also an ordinary man who took upon himself the mandate of Christ. Is that you? Should be. Hallelujah. 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 You can't just be living your life and be a man pleaser. What will people now say? They will not say, hey, I'm preaching. Me can mess you. They will not say, hey, me can also join them. They will not say, hey, me can say, damn what the world will say. Damn the world. I don't care what anybody says. I don't care. Jesus is the one who is worthy of the pleasure. Revelation 4:11. All things were created and were created for his pleasure. Revelation 4 verse 11. See, I'm not made for man's pleasure. If there's one thing I understand, and I understood very early in my Christian life, that's it. I remember there was a time I traveled to Ilorin for a conference, for a Grace Network conference, something like that. I got to Ilorin and asked my dad, I said, I'm in Ilorin. I think I was 17. He said, you are where? He said, come back home now. I said, no, I'm not at this bus station. I'm at Ilorin. I'm not in Challenge, the world. Because I knew if I was at Challenge or the world, he would say, come back home. If I open my eyes and close my eyes. I said, sir, if you open your eyes and close your eyes, I cannot come. Is it already 8 o'clock? Should I come at night? Should I come? Should I be coming now? Should I be coming home now? I'll get about around 1. Should I be coming? He said, you come back and meet me in this house. Am I not here? I came and met him in the house. And there was a statement I took him one time. After he had beaten me seriously, I looked at him and said, I will preach the gospel. Then that's all you have to say. I will report you to your teenager pastor. Then he reported. And the teenager pastor and him. He called me. The Sunday after service. You know this kind of meetings. I said, okay, Abel, should I not preach the gospel again? Then I don't understand everything I said. Should I drop it for later? I said, and I swear I will not preach. Just tell me. And let me know that when I meet God, I will tell him that my father said I should not preach. And my father said, Jesus is not worth preaching. He said, no, let me, it's not like that. I said, it's like how? I don't want like this. Tell me what to do. I will be obedient. Tell me that I should not mention Jesus all my life again, and I will not. He said, I'll be preaching. Everything is for his pleasure. And I've made up my mind that no one else will be pleased than Jesus. And everyone who is under his canopy. Amen. Amen. Like David said to Ahimelech, the king's work requires urgency. He met Ahimelech. He said, do you have the harrow? Do you have the spear? Ahimelech said, why did you come? He said, I ran as soon as the king called me. That was Saul. He said, I didn't even take the spear. Why? Because the king's work requires haste. That's the way you must approach the gospel.
You see Christians, they are forcing you to church. They are still calling you.
Don't forget service today. Don't forget service today.
Something is wrong, bro. Something is wrong, bro. This is not the tone of Ephesians. I'm just led in this direction tonight. Something is wrong.
Don't forget service.
If you had an exam, would they call you don't forget your exam? That stupid date that you went on. That you wore high heel and a red dress.
Sounds like I'm talking to ladies.
Yeah, guys. That you are combing your LMA. That stupid anger that you and your friends had. Did they remind you? You talked about it for 21 days to that day. But when it comes to the gospel, you are nowhere to be found. Don't be a Christian the devil is proud of. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Take on the preaching of the gospel. That's what we live after now. Because one day, you will die. Let me just say it very well. It's not a prophecy. It will happen. You and I are closer than we were yesterday. If you think you are getting fresher. Yeah, you are saying you are fresh. See, you are getting, your skin is smooth. It's getting smooth to the grave. You are closer to that grave than you were yesterday. Get on the preaching of the gospel. Today we are still mentioning Paul. We are still mentioning Peter. Those were men that stood and came in the name of Jesus. That man's praise. That man's appellation. Jesus is the one worthy of the honor. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Make up your mind. Okay. So Ephesians is one of the most common letters. I'm back to Ephesians. Quite interesting read. Unlike Galatians and Corinth, where Paul had personal encounters with the church. He also had a personal encounter with the church in Ephesus, right? We already said he taught them for a while. But, you know, in the book of Galatians, you see Paul almost in every verse. I, Paul, I'm an apostle. I went to Jerusalem. You don't find that in Ephesians. You don't find that in Ephesians. Quite a formal letter. That's a very interesting one too. Written about 60 to 61 AD. 60 to 61 AD. Let me just give you quite some history. He wrote it 60 to 61 AD in prison. You find that in Ephesians 3:1. He was in prison. For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles. Alright. In Ephesians 4:1, I therefore the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that the vocation where you are. So again, Ephesians is one of Paul's prison letters. Like the old theologians would call it. Paul's prison letters. He wrote it while in prison. Even though he left Ephesus through that Demetrius, whatever, the Bruaha, and of Demetrius, this versement. He left Ephesus around 56 AD. Then he wrote Ephesians about 5 years later. Amen. Amen. So, again, Ephesians was very focused on Christ in our lives and the life in Christ. Christ in our lives and the life in Christ. In fact, well divided. Like chapter 1 to 3, we find Christ in our lives. What Christ has done for us. Who we are in Christ. Chapter 1 to 3. Then chapter 4 to 6, you find life in Christ. How that we ought to now walk worthy of what He has done. And then that's where you now find put on the whole armor of God and all of that. So the theme of Ephesians will be life, Christ in our lives and life in Christ. 1, verse 1. 4. Like every book of literature, the author ought to be known. Because what that helps to do is, as you're reading, you can appropriate diction. Like I taught some years back, that when you're reading a book, you know, I don't want to use the word context. I believe context has been so bastardized. You find someone that doesn't read the Bible, it is talking about context. I don't want a book. How about writing on it? I say, so the context is, I say, can we just cancel this word for like 2 years? The word context has been so misused. Alright, but it's fine. When you're reading a particular author, for example, I'm a big fan of Wole Soyinka, Professor Wole Soyinka. I used to be a big fan because I can't remember the last time I read. I used to read his literature. I'm not an art student. I'm a medical person. But I think I find my art in art. You feel that? Don't feel it. So,
But what else me most times is, because I've read quite a lot of his books, or quite a number of his books, when I see some things, you know, even though probably you might not understand because he's quite crazy in writing. You know, Abi? Yeah, quite crazy. You can read three stanzas and not understand anything. So, but because I've read other books by him, I can easily now say, I know where he's probably jeering towards him. That makes sense? So again, when you know the writer, what it helps you to do is, you can pick up his other books and see the way he uses the same word. So, context will now be, and I've explained that context is just more than, this person said, world, and I look at the verse before, verse after. Context is more than that. Context is the entire book. I read through the entire book of Ephesus to know what he said by saying, be strong in the Lord. Because he can't just come and say, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. I must start from chapter 1 and look at what he calls strength. Remember in chapter 1, he would have told you that, see, the mighty strength, the exceeding greatness of his power, delivered Christ from the dead. Right? And set him above every principality, every name, every power, the dominion. Far above this world, and far above every name in this world, also that which is to come. Right? And put him under his feet, Ephesians 1:23, and gave him to be the head over of even to the church, to put in something that filleth all in all. Chapter 2 verse 1 and says, and you also are he quickened. So, again, the background of Ephesians is that God has the strength. God has the power, which he wrought in Christ and in the new creation. Then he now comes into chapter 6 and says, you be strong. Chapter 6 verse 10, be strong in the Lord. Now, I need to now read from chapter 1 to that chapter 6 to understand how to be strong in the Lord. Is it making sense? I can't just pick a verse out of context. And that's why it makes sense to now know the writer. So if I now read chapter 1 to chapter 6 and I don't know what it means to be strong in the Lord, you know what I will do? I will go to Galatians. Because I know it's written by the same author, I will now look at what he calls strength in Galatians. If I don't see Galatians, I'll go to Colossians. Or Thessalonians. Or Philippians. If I don't see Nordians, I will go to Timothy. I will go to Titus. I will go to Philemon. Is it making sense? Why? The same author. So, he starts by establishing that in the church in Ephesus, Paul. For the purpose of literature, that would be very important. Paul, an apostle of Christ, we have explained the word apostle, right? Apostolos in the Greek, A-P-O-S-T-O-L-O-S, A-P-O-S-T-O-L-O-S, which means the sent forth one. The sent forth one. And I gave you an illustration of cargo ships. Cargo ships. When you load them with the particular and say, you are going to Germany. You are going to Nigeria. So, again, all those cargo ships are called apostolic ships. Because they have specific message to specific destination. So when you say apostle, apostle is one who is sent. So Paul is sent from who? Say Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ. An apostle of Jesus Christ. An apostle of Jesus Christ, you find that in Acts 9, Abi, where Jesus met him on the road to Damascus. And he said, why are you persecuting me? And he said, why? Me persecute you? He said, is that for you to be against the priest? And I've already established that. That means Paul's first encounter with Jesus was what? Identification. Because he was persecuting the church, and then Jesus said, it's me. The church, then Jesus said, it's me. So again, it means that throughout Paul's missionary journey, he will always see every believer in Christ. Because that was the genesis of his call. An apostle of Jesus Christ, you find that in Acts 9, verse 1 to 15, you find that in Acts 26, verse 16 to 18. So Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, that is one who is sent by Jesus. He said then, by the will of God. By the will of God. I'll leave this to another day. By the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus. And to the faithful in Jesus Christ, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, the saints. And this, in a sense, betrays what we call saints today. The definition of what many people call saints today is people who died in the missionary work, or the 12, you understand? Let's say St. Paul, St. Mary, the Mother of God, which is a very funny phrase. Mother of God.
That's the funniest phrase I've ever heard in my life. Hail Mary. Followed by Hail Mary. I don't know what you're hailing about her. Because she was also a disciple of Christ. It's funny, huh?
So Saint, yes, Saint Peter, Saint, yes, Saint Agnes.
Agnes is a funny name, huh? Sorry if you're Agnes.
Saint Pam?
Not really.
Saint John, Paul, Andrew, Cordelia. Peter, you know, and we have that funny idea that saints are people who are holy.
That's true.
The people who are holy to the call, they did not sin. And I said, yeah, people say, nobody is a saint.
You know, sometimes you just make statements and you don't know your mouth is smelling.
Christian knows about him.
He is a saint. The Christian that is saying he is a saint.
So I know nobody is a saint.
You go. Including your pastor.
Hey, my pastor is an imperfect person. Learn when. You know, your pastor can say that he is imperfect. He is human.
But not from your own mouth. Oh God. Not from your mouth.
As the honor of God.
But it's okay. It's okay.
So we say, saints! Ha! Ah, that brother. Nobody's a saint. Nobody's a saint. Ah! Do you know I caught him? He wanted to clock in at work like this. He came 8:26. He wrote 8:29. Nobody's a saint. So you think because he changed figures, I'm not saying you should change figures. He said, thank you, Pastor.
Thank you, Pastor. I work in this.
we often overestimate what it means. Because the people you mentioned, Peter and the rest, they are not perfect. Not in Christ, they are perfect in Christ. I mean, in their conduct also, they're not perfect. And so what does it mean to be a saint? Because Paul now calls the entire church. He didn't even miss words. He didn't say, except brother, so the saints in Ephesus, except brother, oh wait, I know some of you that are not saints. Sister Zora, brother Dan, I exempt them. They are saints to be.
Funny enough. Okay.
So he said to the saints in Ephesus. So no mention of words, he was right. To the saints. The word saints is what agios. In the Greek, H-A-G-I-O-S. H-A-G-I-O-S. It means separated, holy, consecrated. Separated, holy, consecrated. Now, again, like I always explain that, whatever you see in the New Testament, even though there's no Old Testament,
right,
in the real text of it, because, I think I explained the reason why I said that, right? Because some people say, Old Testament, New Testament, as though the Bible is presented to you. You will find the Old Testament in Genesis. Then you find the Old Testament in the New Testament in Genesis. I can teach the entire New Testament ministry and I will not get to Paul. And we'll stay with Moses and Isaiah. I feel the two best. Moses and Isaiah, and I will not move an inch. I will not mention Matthew. I've done it many times before. So you can't just call them Old Testament. They contain the New Testament too. Is that where we found Ezekiel 36? Where it said, I will sprinkle clean water, I will put a new spirit within you. Is that not the New Testament? Eh? My laws I will put in their hearts. Is that not the new creation? And then you find the Old Testament in what you call the New Testament. Because look at the book of Hebrews. It's Old Testament. Very well Old Testament. The cutting of the tree. It was 6 cubits. Hebrews.
Uh-huh.
Romans. So let's leave that. So again, you can't sideline any book of the Bible. But for the purpose of what's popular, fine. Old Testament, Genesis to Malachi. Fine. Even though I prefer to call it the scriptures or the prophets. Then Matthew to Revelation will be called new. Fine. Let's accept that. So again, when you find the word agios, holy, we need to establish it from the beginning. Like I said, for something to be called doctrine, you must find it, let me see my students. For something to be called doctrine, you must find it in Genesis, in its what? In its seed form. Eh? In the laws of Moses. As the law. Uh-huh. In the prophets. As an inspired word. Uh-huh. in the sacred Psalms of David, right? In the four Gospels, as what? The teaching of Christ. In the book of Acts, as the what? As the act and practice of the church. In the epistles, as the teaching of the new creation. Five. Seven places. Genesis, Moses, prophets, Psalms, four Gospels, Acts, epistles. That makes it doctrine. You can't wake up one day and just bring one revelation and say, God told you. And he has told nobody before. That's a ditch. You're setting up yourself for trouble. There's no revelation that Moses did not have. Like when I heard the song one time, I said, we are not like Moses. We are not like Moses groping in the dark. I was angry. I was dumbfounded. Moses! You should have mentioned someone else, I mentioned Elijah. And I was saying he's groping in the dark. Fine. I don't care. Moses! Every prophet is called a prophet because they quoted Moses. And Moses did not quote anybody. David quoted Moses. Isaiah quoted Moses. Jeremiah quoted Moses. Jesus quoted Moses. Paul is Moses. Then you come, when Paul says, hope of his calling, the riches of his glory. We've explained that before now. Abi? We have those two teachings. The hope of his calling, the riches of his glory. That's Moses. Because you can't say glory without that. Moses is glory. Moses is groping in the dark. I was livid with the person. Moses? That's the greatest light you ever see. Moses. And so, you can't have a revelation out of the blues. Moses must have thought it. So when he said only, we go back to Moses. Hallelujah. Then we'll come back to Ephesians chapter 4 on what it means to be saint. He said the word of this, right? In Genesis, you find Genesis chapter 2, verse 1. Thus the host of the heaven and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. Thus the heaven and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. Can we verse 3 together? And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified, because he needs to rest from all the work which God created. And that word sanctify is the word Kodesh. Q-O-D-E-S-H. Q-O-D-E-S-H. That's the Hebrew translation of Agios. Kodesh. It means to sanctify something, to separate something. And so God called the seventh day holy. Remember Moses eventually now told the children of Israel. And the seventh day shall be kept holy. It is the Sabbath of the Lord. And Jesus came and said, I am the Lord of the Sabbath. And so the seventh day is holy. Holy. The word Kodesh. Look at that Exodus. A very marked one that we ought to see there. Exodus chapter 3. You understand it? Verse 4. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. He said, yeah, am I. And he said, draw not near. Put off your shoes from your feet. For the place whereunto thou stand is what? Holy ground. And some people are still practicing this today. The place you stand is holy ground. Kodesh. A saintly ground. Put it like that. A separated ground. A sanctified ground. Let's add more. Exodus 12. Verse 16. And the first day shall be an holy convocation, and the seventh day there shall be a convocation to you. No manner of work shall be done in them. Say that every man must eat, that only may be done of you. That makes sense? Is that Genesis 2? Eh? Come on, is that Genesis 2? So Moses now convinced them that, see, on the seventh day, which is the first day of the week, that's why many people think that's Sunday. He said, you must not walk. You just rest. Because it is the only convocation. Only convocation. That is, we are looking at the word Kodesh, shall we? The only convocation. So, we have seen a ground is holy. A day is holy. A ground and a day. Exodus 15, verse 11.
Again, our Kodesh was used 470 times. So we might not be able to look at all of it. But you know, if I want to, I think I've done something before. Not today. We'll not live here. So thank you, Pastor. I love you. I love you too. And I love me too. Exodus 15 verse 11. Who is like unto thee, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like unto thee, glorious as our Kodesh? Glorious in holiness. Glorious in holiness. So, he calls his glory holy. Fearful in praises. Doing wonders. The end of it, hallelujah. That's the psalm of Miriam, I guess. Verse 13. Thou in thy mercy hast led forth the people which thou hast redeemed. Thou hast guided them into thy strength and in your holy habitation. That word holy Kodesh. Exodus 16:23. And he said unto them, this is that which the Lord has said. Tomorrow is the rest of the holy Sabbath unto the Lord. The holy Sabbath. Let's leave Exodus. Let's go to Joshua. That we can fulfill some other prophets. In Joshua chapter 6. Verse 19. But all silver and gold and vessels of brass and iron are consecrated. That's the word holy. Kodesh. Are consecrated unto the Lord. They shall come into the treasury of the Lord. So again, what have we seen called holy? A day? A ground? Eh? A day and a ground? Yeah? Silver and gold. Called holy. 1 Samuel 21. Verse 4. And the priest answered David and said, there is no common bread under my hand, but there is holy bread. That's the word hallowed. There is holy bread if the young men have kept themselves at least from women. Verse 5. And David answered the priest and said unto him, of a truth, women have been kept from us about these 3 days. David. Since I came out, and the vessels of the young men are holy, and the bread is in a manner common, yet those who are sanctified. Sanctified is in the vessel. Verse 6. So the priest gave him the holy bread. You have seen bread can be holy. Right? The bread can be holy. Psalm 2. Sacred Psalms of David. Verse 6. Yet I have set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. Upon my holy hill. So, Zion is an holy hill. Psalm 3 verse 4. I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill. Psalm 5 verse 7. But as for me, I will come into thy house, in the multitude of your mercy. And in thy fear will I worship towards your what? Your holy temple. So we have seen temple is holy, hill is holy. Do you leave Psalms? Isaiah 6 verse 13. But yet in it shall be a tent, and it shall return, and shall be eaten, and a territory, and as an oak, whose substance is in them, when they cast their leaves. Only seed shall substance give up. The only seed. So a seed is also called holy. Jeremiah 2, just trying to explore the prophets. Verse 3. Israel was holiness unto God. Israel was Kodesh. So far, what made the ground or the hill or the temple or the day holy? What made it holy? For the ground, God was there. For the day, God called it holy. For the silver and gold, it belonged to God. Right? It belongs to the temple. For the temple is where God and man meet. Eh? So again, look at the use of the word holy or Kodesh throughout the Old Testament, the words of the prophet, you will discover that it is used in Israel was called holy because Israel was God's firstborn or choice nation. So holiness is used as regards God. The ground called itself holy. Eh? What did the ground do to be holy? What did the ground do to be holy? What about the day? Nothing. Nothing. It was called holy. So, holiness is conferred by a third party. I think I gave you an illustration some years ago. And I said, when we were younger, and I think in most Nigerian homes, the father always have a special cup. My dad has a special cup. I mean, nobody touches that cup. No matter how drunk you are, or no matter how full of glory you are that day, if you like, get scholarship. If you can't, there was a day my own came visiting. And there's a way, I don't know, it has changed now. There's a way you just put cup in your sitting room. Just turn it down, round and all. So, that cup should be in the center. Is that holy? So, my friend just took the cup. And I can't tell him that this cup is holy. Because he was a rich friend. So, this is the least thing that can speak in our house now. So he took it and my dad entered. Just said that he went to his room. I think that's the beginning of the end. And so my dad said, what audacity you and your friend, where is he? And you know, years later I was now thinking, what makes cups special? Nothing. There are better cups. There are better cups. What it there was because my dad called it special. And that's what it means to be holy. Holiness does not mean it does not have sin. that ground, can a ground sin? Can a temple sin? Eh? No. So, again, can the ill or the day sin? No. Holiness has nothing to do with sin. Holiness has to do with what is conferred on you by God or by another. So, when you say holy, let me give you other references that you find in the Old Testament. That is, I have there. Psalm 11 verse 4, Psalm 15 verse 1, Psalm 20 verse 2, I'll just rush through that. Psalm 20 verse 6, Psalm 24 verse 3, Psalm 28 verse 2, Psalm 29 verse 2, Psalm 30 verse 4, Psalm 33 verse 21, Jeremiah 11 15, Jeremiah 23 9, Jeremiah 25 30, Isaiah 6 13, Isaiah 11 9, Isaiah 23 18, Isaiah 27 13, Isaiah 35 8, Isaiah 43 28, Isaiah 45 2, Isaiah 52 1. Anyone you cut is fine. You can copy from your neighbor later. So again, don't confuse it. Holiness does not mean perfect. It doesn't mean sinless. It means this thing has been separated for a purpose. This thing has been separated to someone. It has been consecrated. Pardon. So when you say someone is a saint, go back to Ephesians 1:1. To the saints at Ephesus. To the saints at Ephesus. So why would he call them saints? Is it because they are perfect in conduct? No. No. He called them saints not necessarily because they are perfect. Like I said earlier, everyone is walking towards maturity in Christ. He called them saints because they have been chosen of God. You now find that out in Ephesians. Look at Ephesians. Look at that chapter 1 verse 4. Let's have verse 3. Blessed be the God, everybody. I want everybody to read Ephesians 1, 3 and 4 together. You there? Want to go? Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. According as he has what? Chosen us in him before the foundation of God, that we should be what? Holy. Stop there. Can you see that? So holiness is comfort. He chose us to be holy. You can't merit it. You can't call yourself holy. I'm holy. No. He has to call you holy. He has to call you holy. And so, the holiness or the saintliness, there's nothing like that. But why would he call the church in Ephesus saints? Because they are chosen in Christ. So, saints does not mean, oh, he's flawless. Saint means he's chosen. So everyone in the Lord's chosen is a saint. Hallelujah. So saint does not mean perfect in conduct. It doesn't mean flawless. It doesn't mean faultless. It means chosen, separated to God. Is it making sense? So it says, to the saints in Ephesus, what makes a man a saint? When he receives the gospel, he's separated to eternal life. He becomes a child of God. He's called apart to please God. That makes him a saint. And you discover that Paul said this almost to every church that he pastored. In Romans 1, and I'll close here. Romans 1, 7. To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, Grace to you and peace from God, our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Called to be saints. Called to be saints. Actually, it's called saints. You see, the word to be is in italics. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 12. Let's say verse 12. Verse 2. Unto the church of God which is at Corinth, to them that what? Sanctified in Christ. Called saints. So, it's always a calling. A calling. It's always something you are separated unto. Called saints. Called saints. And so everyone is in every place that call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Both the ears and the earth. 2 Corinthians 1. That's 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the church of God which is at Corinth, with all the saints which are all in Achaia. Again, the church of Corinth is a church that was full of wonders. Not miracle in this sense. Very troubled church. Divisions among them. They had several pastors in one church. You know, don't say, me, I belong to Pastor Peter. Don't say, me, I don't really like Pastor Peter. Apollos is my guy. Pastor Apollos, anytime he preaches, the Spirit comes upon me. I always feel the message. There's that Paul, I don't know, he just comes, I don't know, he's always just saying, Moses. I know the feeling like that. I like me, I like Pastor Luke. He makes me look. you know, there were divisions. You know, imagine a church like this and someone says, I don't like Pastor. I like Bro Pam. I always want Brother Pam to preach. I always want Brother Shola to preach. I don't like Pastor preach. I don't know. He's not really a good preacher. He's not really a good teacher of God's word like that. And in my cell meeting, if you know what Brother Shola teaches, if you know how mighty he is in scriptures, you know, they had that kind of division. One, that same church, someone was sleeping with his father's wife. His father was saying to, that Paul was saying, he was sleeping with his father's wife. What's going on in the fact? In chapter 6, they were taking themselves to court. Imagine you, after service, after you say, welcome to church, I say, we meet in court. So welcome to church, we say, we meet in court. Welcome to church. Say, welcome to church, welcome to church. We meet in court. Second year. They were taking themselves to court. Paul had to correct them and say, I told you that the saints, we judge angels, we judge the world. How come you are now taking yourselves to court? Is this matter too great to be judged by saints? Then, they had issue with fornication. So, in chapter 7, he has corrected them on marriage, fornication, and that's why he told them that it's better to marry than to burn. He's not talking about air, fire, burning. He said it's better to get married than self-control to be lost. Self-control is the one burning. That is, you have lost control of everything. Does it make sense? Uh-huh. And it's better to go and be married than to... Your flesh is burning. And you have lost everything, you are just everywhere, like in chapter 5. It makes sense. So self control on flicks. On flames. That's the burning. Alright. So he corrected them on the issue of sexual immorality. Then the same church that were eating food offer to idols, they woke the junction. They said, we are in Christ. You know, in chapter 1 verse 7, he said, their church, they know the knowledge of the Spirit. They lack nothing. So they will go to doctrine. Masotaya. Fried rice, lake. Mas, kerebon, telehang, do the kisha. Yeah, forehead. Brother Peter, take one. Yeah, Apollos. Abba, you want some? Where's the food? All meat belongs to God. You know, they were, and the Paul said, there's nothing wrong with that. Because all food belongs to God. But you see, when your meat will cause your brother to sin, he said, you would rather not take meat. So you have to teach them love work. Because they were just full of themselves. They were flowing with all the gift of the Spirit, yet they called them saints, because they were eating idol food. In the same church, the rich were separating themselves from the poor, which is classical of the flesh. It's the work of the flesh. Anywhere in the church of God, there's no engineer, there's no doctor, there's no professor. In the church of Christ, what we have is brothers and sisters. I've said it before, and I will to God, it will happen. Where we have a king come to this service. And no matter what you are, you're going to take up that crown. I'm not going to give you the front seat because you are the king of Lassa. You are going to, like every other brother, take out your Bible. If you don't have a Bible, I'll send you out. And your guard must not go and bring your Bible. Else, get out of my church. Why are you here then? If you cannot sit down to learn God's word, you are not the king of kings. When you get to your palace, you act like a king. When you get to the church, you are the brother in Christ. When you get to your office, you be the doctor you are. You be the engineer you are. Nobody's going to call you engineer here. You are waiting for him to say, I did not call him engineer. They're just calling him brother Solomon. Okay, you are brother Solomon. They are not going to say brother Solomon. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If I'm not a doctor, you are a brother in Christ. The holy titles probably permitted are the ministry gifts where we can call someone pastor. We can call people deacon. We can call people evangelist. Does that make sense? That makes sense? Those are the only titles, which is not even compulsion. Don't say because you are now a pastor, they didn't call you pastor, you are now vexing. What's wrong with you? So when God wants to talk to you, does he call you pastor? My son, Pastor Deborah, I want to talk to you. May I? God calls you by your name. Hallelujah. Paul said, who are you? He said, I am Jesus. He said, you don't know me. You don't know me, you. I am the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, the everlasting Father, the King of all ages. Jehovah Shammah, Jehovah Repha, Jehovah Shabshab. He said, I am Jesus. Hallelujah. In simplicity lies the power. I am Jesus. Alright, so, again, in this same church, where they had all the issues, the rich oppressing the poor, they would say, we all come together to eat the Lord's Supper. Some people will run to the church fast. They will finish it all. Leave the table empty. They will leave. Paul said, you are eating it unworthily. Does it make sense? Unworthily now means you are not eating it in love. We have explained that in the teaching, love in our Christian meetings. But you can go listen to that. It's quite an interesting and funny teaching. Love in our Christian meetings. Alright, so again, that same church, then it says to the saints in Corinth. I think that's the very, very exact picture of saints. To the saints in Corinth. These guys were nowhere near perfect when it comes to their moral issues. But yet, they are called separated to God. Because what separated them is not their conduct. What separated them is the gospel. Hallelujah. Philippians 1. It's funny that I did not think that saints. Paul really meant that church. Like, it really came for them. There was no single word of commendation. No one. He didn't make mistake to commend them. Everything is rebuke. Strong tone. We meet on Sunday again. Hallelujah. Philippians 1, verse 1. Paul and Timothy, the servant of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus. All the saints in Christ. Colossians 1, verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ, which are at Colossae. The saints. So, again, it's not a status to be reached. It is what God has done for the man in Christ. Does that make sense? It's not a status you are trying to reach. I have not sinned again. Now I am saint. I am no, no. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. Help us to understand that Christ was made sin. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. Christ was made sin for us. Who knew no sin? That we might what? That we might be the righteousness of God in him. Hallelujah. So he took our place, called us unto himself. We are now the separated ones. We are now his holy ones. We are now the saints of God in Christ. Again, it's not on merit, it's not on works. It's not based on what you have done, it's not based on what you will do. It's not based on any other thing save the blood of Christ that called us from eternal darkness to his glorious light. Learn something tonight.